You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Speaking of prayer, and our staff, we just talked about this, but I'm going to announce it today. They always love it when they find things out from the pulpit. We are going to try something. Remember I told you last week that we change methodology as times change, and we've been placing more and more of an emphasis on prayer, and it's a good thing, amen. Pastors are supposed to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So, but we don't have a lot of time for the church to pray, and really during the week this is the only time. So make sure you avail, and you can pray in your seat, obviously too, right? But I wanted to do more than that, and its schedules are so stinking hectic. Starting at the beginning of the year, we're going to, at least through Easter, and we'll see, you know, how it works out with everybody and their schedules and all. We're going to do prayer in the morning on Tuesday mornings right here at 6:30. So, yeah, you got to be serious about it. 6:30 in the morning till 7:30, all right? It'll be just under an hour. And the church needs to pray, amen? Especially if we're going to take the territory that I believe God has for us. We really need to be seeking, you know, asking, seeking, knocking, amen? So, if you're serious about prayer, put that on your calendar. Sarah, make sure I know what day that is. The first day we'll start promoting that. So don't show up here next Tuesday because you will be by yourself at 6:30 in the morning. But starting at the first of the year, at least through Easter, 6:30 a.m., prayer meeting, all right? Now, turning your Bibles to Acts 19 and verse number 11 is where we're going to pick it up. Today's message is going to potentially tick off some of you, and you're like, what's new about that? It's going to tick off some of you who are not used to me ticking you off, okay? And it's not intentional. I really wrestled with this message. But the good thing, honestly, about preaching expository messages, you know, from the front of Acts to the back of Acts, basically every word, every passage, is if a pastor is honest, he has to deal with the text that he comes to, yes? Yes? Thank you. So today we're coming to a text that hits many of you in a way that you aren't going to like. And I just want you to, so now first, don't get mad at me. All right? Say, we love you, Pastor John. That was not real convincing to me, but I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. We're going to look at what God has to say and then let you deal with it, okay? With some things that may be going on in your life that you think are cool and okay and fun. And maybe God has, well, I know God has a difference of opinion on that, so who you're going to listen to is the question, okay? Now I've intrigued you. Acts 19:11, and I am preaching this morning on this life-changing, victory-supplying topic. And here's the topic, and this is the title, Shutting My Doors in Satan's Face, How I Minimize Evil in My Family's Life. We've come to this part of the text. How do I shut all the doors in my life that I'm, in some cases, some of you folks, I love you, you're laying out a welcome mat for Satan. And how do I shut those doors? How do I minimize evil? Now, Satan's going to attack, right? We know he's going to attack. We're supposed to be armored up. But some of us, we put out the welcome mat for Satan. And you're like, okay, John, well, I know we've been in this book of Acts where, you know, Paul's in Ephesus. It's like a weird city, you know. It's all black magic and Satan central. And I get that. But America doesn't have much of that stuff at all. You haven't been paying attention then, have you? We are honestly, really, Christians, we're that classic frog in the boiling pot. And the temperature's gone up and gone up just slowly by degrees year after year after year. And it's boiling and we're being impacted and we don't even know it. Or if we know it, we don't know how to get out of it because we're too weak. So in reality, we're not living that far away from the evil stuff going on in Ephesus. Acts 19, and we're going to pick it up. Where did I say? Verse 11? Verse 11. I got to find it myself. There it is. Verse 11. All right. Now, we saw some of this last week, but it leads into I needed to revisit it. It leads into the passage, and it's huge. Seriously, this passage could impact you. It could impact your kids. Some of you are being impacted by you opening the door to your home, to your family, to Satan. And you don't even know it. And you think it's okay. And you think it's fun. And they think it's fun. And God says, nah, don't play. Don't play. Verse 11, you there? Same there. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left him, and the evil spirits came out of them. I mean, that's like, whoa, right? Then some of those itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So they saw what was going on, and they're like, okay, I'm going to use this name of Jesus thing. I'm going to add that to my repertoire. So they were saying, I adjourn you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but what? Who are you? And then the man in whom was the evil spirit, so he really was possessed by that evil spirit, leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, get the scene here, all right? Try putting yourself, sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of hit it at the surface level, but try to put yourself into this. You've got these seven Jewish televangelist exorcist dudes, and they show up at your town, and I'm sure they advertised, however they did it back in the day, come and see the seven sons of Siva, you know, cast out a real bona fide, mean, angry, nasty demon. Come and see. And I'm sure they had their offering plates. And so huge crowds gather because they didn't have Netflix. And maybe they had musicians, warm-up bands, I don't know. And then they go inside this demon-possessed dude's house. And everybody who can squeezes into the house with them. And the ones who can't are sticking their faces through any window they can find. Little kids are on daddy's shoulders. Hang on, Junior, you know, you're going to see a real-life exorcism. And then they hear this demonic shrieking. Jesus, I know. Paul, I'm familiar with. Who are you? And all of a sudden, bam, slap, crash, tear, scream. And out the door, stumbling over each other, seven tore up, butt naked, beat down, wannabe exorcists, crying for mama, trying to cover their private parts, heading for the hills, butt naked. Wow. You ain't just going to go home and your wife says, what happened today? Oh, nothing. Man, my goodness, you were talking about that. And so look at me now. You can stay in your Bibles, but I'm going to throw the rest of it up on the screen. You'll see why, because I need to do some work here in Acts chapter 19, verse 17. And this, all right, all that stuff became known to all the residents of Ephesus, town of about 300-some thousand, both Jews and Greeks. So, I mean, it was just gossip. Everybody, oh, my goodness. Oh, were you there? Oh, I saw it. Man, I tell you what, both Jews and Greeks in fear, what? Fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, magnified. People are going to talk. You know, today people talk. People talk about everything, anything exciting, people talk. This event sent shockwaves through that region, prompting the people to start to fear. Now that means the awe of God, the respect, the deep respect of God. They weren't fearing demons, really. They weren't even fearing Satan. They were fearing God, who has the power over demons and Satan. And they're like, whoa, what does this mean? And Christian, pay attention to this. I want you to get this. In this next verse, he says this, also many who were now what? Believers came confessing and divulging their practices because they feared the Lord and Jesus was magnified and they saw the power of God. Christian, this is for you today. This is for you today, so listen up. He that has an ear, has ears to hear, let him hear what the Lord is saying to the church. That's what Jesus, because some of you don't have ears to hear. Some of you, you ain't, because of the subject matter that we're going to get to in a second. It's not even the main part of the message. But you aren't going to hear, want to hear it at all. You're going to have pushback. And maybe you're going to get mad. All right? Don't do that. Instead, say, Lord, I want to know. I respect you. I respect your power. And if you are gut checking me, Lord, then gut check me. Amen? Have the maturity to do that. shutting my doors in Satan's face, how I minimize evil in my family's life. And so how do I do it? How do I shut the door in Satan's face? There's three huge truths. How many?
Three.
From God's eternal word. The first one is this. I quit inviting him in. I quit inviting him in. You're like, well, duh, John. Well, duh yourself. Many of us are basically inviting Satan in. We don't even know it. Well, come on, man. I don't invite Satan in, dude. I don't. That's what the folks in this ancient city, not this, but one not too far down the road of Troy thought when this big, beautiful wooden horse showed up on their doorstep one morning. And they're like, awesome. Wow, this is, let's bring it in right away. I know it's from the enemy, but oh, it's awesome. It's a peace offering or something. I want to get a selfie of me and my kids sitting on top of it. I know it's from the enemy, but there's really no harm in bringing it in, is there? I mean, it's fun. I don't really believe in it. It's just entertainment. That's some of us here. Hey, Christian, what have you brought into your home from the enemy? What is God telling you, through the truth of his word, this scripture, that you need to get rid of? And there's a big list, maybe. Verse 18, also many who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and did what with them? Burned them, first book burning. In the sight of all. They didn't do it privately. They said, okay, and they're coming and confessing. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Supposedly that one drachma, the piece of silver, was worth a man's wage, a year's wage, which would be millions of dollars. Different scholars disagree, but it was a whole lot of money that they just burned up. They didn't sell them. They didn't go, hey, yeah, these are bad for us. Let's get some money, you know, out of Facebook Marketplace. No, if it was bad for you, it's bad for somebody else, and they burned them. They took the hit. They took the loss. What were they saying? I need to get right on it and get rid of it. I need to get right on it and get rid of it. And you know why many of you have problems in your life right now, at least one major problem, with your marriage, with your kids, with your mind? You brought stuff or allowed stuff, maybe satanic stuff, home, and you need to get rid of it. This has been the case in my own family. There's really no harm in bringing it. You know, it's just fun. I don't believe in it. It's just entertainment. I told my daughter Janelle, many of you know her in Florida, about this text. And she got all excited. And she said, do you want to use my testimony? I'm like, well, I'm so cool with you, baby. She goes, oh, no. So she sat down and typed it out. So here it basically is. Some of you know parts of this. None of you have heard the whole thing. In 2019, I fully believed that I was a good for nothing. It felt like a burden to those around me. After wrestling with this feeling for 6 months, I had a conversation with a demon that told me the only answer was to take my life. John, how do you know, how does she know it's a demon? Because there's a certain way demons talk to you, certain things they say. Some of you have been listening to demons. You don't maybe hear the voice, but you hear it inside your head. Think it's you. Had a conversation with a demon that told me the only answer was to take my life. The demon had all the answers for me. Tim, husband, would be able to find a better wife. My kids would have a better mother. My parents and siblings wouldn't really feel the loss too deeply because I live far away. Thankfully, by the power of God, the plan was derailed. And I tell you what, it was touch and go there for a little while. Some of you know a little bit more about this backstory. And I'm still here today to tell the story. But for years later, I still wrestled with depression. Tried to fix it with medication, diet, working out, friends, prayer, Bible study. It continued to worsen. One night, a friend invited me to her Bible study after hearing I'd felt my depression every day for the past month. I didn't know anybody there. But everybody was able to go around and share, and I couldn't hold in all the exhaustion and hopelessness that I'd been carrying for all those years anymore. I broke down in front of seven strangers and said I needed healing, and they instantly stood up and gathered around me, laying hands on me and praying. And they, as they prayed and I wept, I asked God from my heart to his, what is keeping me from you? Instantly he answered. Here it comes. Get rid of your Harry Potter wands and your Harry Potter things. My kids were big. My daughter, Janelle, and her husband, big into Harry Potter. Their kids had all the paraphernalia. She told me when she was getting rid of this stuff, she realized that there was a thing over her son's bed that she'd put up a really cool poster that was actually a satanic incantation. Get rid of your Harry Potter wands and your Harry Potter things. It was a clear, direct instruction, and I obeyed and went home and told my family, we got rid of it all. My son even wanted to throw away his Harry Potter Legos to obey Jesus. I have not had depression since. Yeah. As months passed, God continued to reveal more and more of the things I needed to cleanse my house of. I even found two yoga books, she's a certified instructor, that had demonic incantations in them that I had to read for certification shoved in a box under my bed. My spirit felt more sensitive things. God was cleansing me, stripping me from the idols in my life, taking away all the things that separated me from him or things I claim as my identity. I'm a Capricorn. I'm a Ravenclaw. I'm a cussing Christian. I'm this, I'm that. No, I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the King. No one and nothing brands me except the blood of Jesus. And then she turns into a little preacher here. Why is it so scary to give up the idols in our lives? Is it because we want to wear the badges that help us identify who we are? Our idols are in plain sight all around us. We have even normalized it, so we don't even realize it. The number on the scale made you its slave. Your astrology sign has been an excuse for your bad behavior. The status of your career feeds into your pride. Looking at porn with your spouse feels not as bad as doing it alone. Your freedom is ripped from you. A chain holds you down. You're in the bondage to the perversion of Satan's hand trick. I have learned that what God offers is so much more. Amen? Hey, Christian, what do you need to get rid of to please God and quit playing with Satan? Well, John, I know if that's your daughter, and no disrespect, but that's kind of extreme. I mean, John, hey, Harry Potter, it's just make-believe, you know? There's no harm in bringing it in, is there? I mean, it's fun. I don't really believe in it. It's just entertainment. It helped my kids start enjoy reading. Huh. I had a thought that I've heard that. Oh, it really helped my kids start reading. It's what husbands whose wife caught them with their porn magazine used to say. Baby, I just read it for the articles. Just helps me with my reading. Ephesians 5. What does God say? When all of this, we have to go back to what God says. Walk as children of what? As what? Light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And here's the thing. And try to discern, it takes discernment, what is pleasing to the Lord. Those of you that have pushback right now, this is scriptures for you. You need to, if you're a believer, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Not pleasing to you, not pleasing to Hollywood. So does God say anything about this stuff? Being entertained by the occult or occult light? Yeah, he does. 1 Corinthians 10. I don't want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink from the same cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. Either one of you get it. Choose a team here. Choose a team. Deuteronomy is even rougher. When you enter the land, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there, their culture. For example, do not let your people practice fortune telling. Well, John, I never go to fortune telling. Some of you have. God says it's wrong, it's sin. Don't use sorcery. Harry, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells. Harry, anyone who does these things, this is heavy, is what? Say it. Detestable to the Lord. The Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Well, John, come on, man. I'm not consulting sorcerers. I'm not casting spells. I'm just kind of being entertained, or letting my kids be entertained by watching Harry do those things that God says he hates. Here's an idea. Why don't you train your kids in the truth? Huh? Why don't you train your kids that they already have at their disposal, if they are Christians, more real power than Harry ever could have? More power. What kind of power, John? What kind of power? Ephesians. Oh, that's the book, the place that we're at. Paul's at Ephesus, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. That what kind of power is this? It's the power he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the power. They've got the power. Talk about supernatural, superhuman. They are. Why is that less exciting than something that they're watching in Hollywood or reading books about that is really tinged with satanic messages? Oh, John, I tell you what, man. It's just, you know, it's nothing. What? Church? Quit farming out your child raising to Hollywood. Stop it. Quit making Satan's power exciting in their lives. Learn about the real supernatural power that a believer in Jesus has. The power to overcome your sins, your temptations, all your mess, fix your marriage. Your kids, some of them have no idea of the power of God, but they know all about Ravenclaw. Don't put out the doormat for Satan. Quit inviting Satan in, or his toys in, or his entertainment in. Well, John, what about other things with witches in it? What about them? Oh, help me, Jesus. Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz. Now, Harry is the protagonist, or the main character in Harry Potter, and he's the little witch, warlock, whatever he is, casting spells and doing all that stuff. All right, Dorothy doesn't do any of that, right? So you're like, yeah, but there is a witch. Well, she's bad, but there's a good one. Her name is Glinda, which is a lie. According to God, there is no good witch. Don't get mad at me. Just the messenger. I just had to preach this because we came to it, and I'm not going to wimp out. I'll never come back. Well, go down to a witch church then. I don't care. I do care. Christians, I want some of you to deal with some stuff, because you may not have been in it like my daughter was in it, my son-in-law was in it, and their kids were into it. But you might not be putting as big a doormat out for Satan, but you're maybe putting a smaller one out. Either the word of God is true or a lie, right? Oh, the email is going to heat up. Maybe is it because, John, I just think you're being extreme. All right, I think I'm being extreme. Okay, all right. But I want you to look at our next text, and I've shown it to you before. I want you to, if you're really a believer, if you're really a born-again believer, you're going to have to wrestle with it. And say, Lord, what? Not what does John say, not what does Janelle say, what does Jesus say? Some of you don't know what Jesus said, because it's going to change your entertainment, some of you. And it's not just this, all right? It's not just this. We'll get to it. But maybe the pushback is because you've already brought that stuff in or something like it, and you don't want to admit you're wrong. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to have to talk to your kids about it. Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians, remember? Ephesus, same church. He's writing back to him about 4 years later. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light's found in all that's good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Ask yourself, things I should ask God about. Lord, is this pleasing you or displeasing you? Is the stuff I brought into my home, I'm not just talking about Harry Potter, All right? That's just because it just happened and Janelle went through that scenario. That's my springboard. My music. More of you are like, yeah, I don't like that Harry Potter stuff, but you listen to crap. And you know you do. You might not want to admit it, but you listen to crap. Oh, I just listen to it for the music. Shut up. The lyrics get inside you, people. And when you listen to the filth, when you listen to sometimes demonic stuff, when you listen to stuff that glorifies sex, glorifies bondage, glorifies rape, glorifies drug use, many of you, some of your favorite songs, you know your favorite music artist who is spewing that perversion, you know them and their music more than you know any preacher, more than you know anything about the Bible. John, why is my life screwed up? I'll tell you why. You need to go out to your truck and open the door, take a crowbar, and just pry that radio out. Say, Lord, I'm burning up my radio. That's what Jesus said. This isn't my notes, but this is good. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, do what? Pluck it out. Now, that's radical, right? If your right hand offends you, chop it off. Better to have one hand and go into heaven than have two hands and go into hell. Well, he wasn't telling you to, please don't pull your eyes off this afternoon. What was he saying? He said, you need to get radical on getting the stuff out of your life that is tearing you up. You need to, my kids aren't gonna like it. Who's the parent? Who's the parent? You're in charge, some of you, your kids run you. We got a democracy in my home. Well, it's not set up biblically. My home, man, I'm the dictator and Robin's Mrs. Dictator. That's how God set it up. The kids, they get input, but we go, yeah, that was stupid, shut up. I'm talking about a benevolent dictator, all right? Some of you need to have a talk with your kids this afternoon. You need to figure it out yourself. Don't go out of here half-cocked. My music, is it godly or is it possibly satanic? And satanic is not just when it's, you know, glorifying Satan. Satanic is when it's a lie. The Bible says he's the father of lies. Anything that is a lie, that is anti-biblical, is satanic, people. And that, it's, some of you are like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm talking about your country. Much of your country is trash. Not your country music, not America. Your country music, some of you, whatever music, there's trash because Satan's the imitator. God made amazing things for us to enjoy, music being one of them, and Satan takes everything that God makes and perverts it. Sex, music, everything. My entertainment, is it godly or possibly satanic? Those of you binge watching, and I could name some shows that would really tick you off, but I'll probably get enough email anyway. Some of the things that you watch that are full of nudity, well, John, it's tasteful nudity. What is that? Tasteful nudity. That's a woman statement, by the way. With a man, it's just nudity. You guys know, don't act pious, you liars. Men are attracted by sight. That's God's wiring. So if they see a nude woman, there's like, hello, right? Now, you shouldn't lust. You ought to do the, hey, that's not my eyes, and bounce your eyes. Whoa. Serious. My web browsing, is it godly or possibly satanic? Well, what can I watch? What songs can I listen to? Give me a list. No, I'm not going to give you a list. Shut up. Here's what I'm going to give you. Oh, the one I just gave you, and I just passed by. Take it back. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You get in the Word of God. You start growing. You start understanding God's heart, and you'll know when music is ungodly. Some of you just need to, I'm serious, you need to turn things off. You need to turn things off. I know of Christians who've gotten rid of their TV just because they couldn't handle it. They're like, ah, it's like having chocolates in the house for some of you chocoholics. You could, all day long, you go, I ain't going to have that. And then all of a sudden, I'm just going to have one. And all of a sudden, you ate the whole bowl. Some of you just need to do what Jesus said. Chop it off. Get rid of it. Get it out of there. Then you won't have to fight that urge every night. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Here's another thing that helps me. You can write this down somewhere. If you can't invite Jesus to do it with you, then don't do it. If you can't invite Jesus to do it with you, then you probably shouldn't do it. If you'd be embarrassed if Jesus showed up, and by the way, Jesus is there, if you're a believer, he's watching what you're watching by the power of his Holy Spirit is with you, the Spirit of Jesus. Those of you who think you're mature enough to handle this and that and this and that, by the way, you're influencing your kids because they know what you do. Whew! Ready for point number two? How I shut the door in Satan's face. I quit inviting him in. Number two, I quit hanging around his friends. I quit hanging around his friends. Back to Paul's 4 years later letter back to these Christians in Ephesus. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Basically, you could translate that, don't hang with them, you know, don't participate with them. Don't even hang around people like that. And then he says, and try, there, it's that context, these are just some verses above the ones I showed you before, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. As far as your friends, who you hang around. Iron sharpens iron. You become like the people you hang around. You just do. Well, John, what do I do? Get rid of them and just isolate? No, my goodness, no, you don't isolate. Nature, and human nature especially, abhors a vacuum. You need people. People, that's the reason for the church. It's the reason for the church. You need companionship, friendship, fellowship. That's how we're designed by God. That's one of the huge reasons Jesus gave us the church. Some of you minimize the church and you pay the price. Especially if you're out there trying to isolate, you're okay, well, I won't hang around them anymore, and you're by yourself, Lone Ranger. Gets all the arrows. Before I trusted Jesus, I was a bad influence, and I hung around other bad influences. And as a sailor, we'd go out bar hopping, and often we'd get into fights. You're like, did you fight those Marines? Not often. You know who we fought? Each other. My shipmates, all the stuff, all the underlying tensions, even the comparisons. This is a guy thing, ladies. You probably wouldn't understand. Although you do it in looks, but we do it in strength. Most don't admit it, but when you were young, especially, I could take that guy. I could take him. And he's thinking the same thing about you. I could take Houston. And so you get, you know, seven beers in you. You decide to find out. I had one of my best friends, who wasn't my best friend after that, come to me and start saying things about the girl I was dating. And the other dudes were with him, and they were just picking up. It was in France. And I'm like, I assaulted him in Jesus' name. It wasn't in Jesus' name. It was in John's name, maybe the devil's name. We start fighting each other because all those haze gray and underway pressures would finally blow. And then I trusted Jesus, and I quit hanging with them, and it wasn't really as much me quitting hanging with them as me quitting being invited, because now I was the dude that goes to church. And they kind of self-separated from me. Now, I brought some of them to church here, and some of them trusted Christ. Most of them didn't really want to hang with me anymore because I wasn't going to the same places anymore. 2 Corinthians 6 is the message. Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I, Jesus Christ, want you all for myself. People are going to pollute you. And folks, if you're wondering, I'm pleased to report in all these years at being at Point Harbor, I've never once gotten in a fist fight with any of y'all. Thank you, Jesus. God changes people. Shut the door in Satan's face. How? I quit inviting him in. This is huge, people. Some of you need to, this afternoon, go home and do a gut check or do an all-week prayer. Okay, Lord, what does this mean? John said this. I think he's being extreme. I quit inviting him in. I quit hanging around with his friends. And finally, I quit answering his calls. Now, this is huge. This has changed some of your lives. Acts 19 and verse 20. We get to the last of the passage. So the word of the Lord continued to do what? Increase, say it, increase and prevail mightily. All right, because they did these things, The word of the Lord increased and prevailed mightily. What's the word? What's the word? It's God's communication to man, right? Through the word of God, through the spirit of God. Write this down somewhere. I need to start taking God's calls and blocking Satan's. I need to start taking God's calls. Some of you ain't taking God's calls. But Satan, man, he gets through on the first ring. Some of you, every time Satan calls, you've got him in your friends and family contact list. And he gets right through. You're like, well, what do you mean Satan calls? What do you mean Satan? But Satan, you know, can he put stuff in my mind? Yes. I had a whole bunch of scriptures, but I don't have time for them. Satan putting things, it's Satan, you know, causing folks to lie. Satan putting things in David's heart. Even King David, the Bible says he put it in his heart, in his mind, to operate in pride. And it brought judgment on the whole nation of Israel. Satan did it. He could put those thoughts in your mind. Well, how do I know if it's Satan or it's me or it's Jesus? I'm confused. My other daughter, this is the daughter's message, I guess. She calls, talked to Janelle. She said, hey, Dad, she calls me. Hey, Dad, there's something I like. And she got it from somebody. She said, this is amazing. This is like a spiritual hack. This has helped me so much in figuring out if Satan's talking to me or if it's me talking to me. I'm like, say on, baby, say on. He says, whenever you hear something like this, you're a piece of crap. You should get a divorce. You ought to kill yourself. Is that really you talking to yourself or someone else? You wouldn't talk to yourself like that. If it was you, you'd say, I'm a piece of crap. I should get a divorce. I should kill myself. Think back to that playground bully. How did he say it? She say it. You're a piece of crap. You should kill yourself. You. When you hear accusations that start with you, that's not you talking, that's the bully Satan. It's not you talking to you. It's Satan or one of his demons talking to you. And the sad thing is that many of you are believing it and thinking it's you talking to you. So I'm getting this down from 11, like, oh, this is great, babe, I'm stealing this. We're sitting on the front porch having chitty chat time during this whole time, and Miss Robin chimes in. She's sitting right there. She goes, oh, not only that, so this is from Miss Robin. You're so stupid, you should kill yourself. If you don't identify it and rebuke it, it does turn into, I'm so stupid, I should kill myself. Satan, the liar, will get me to buy into his lies and then personalize them. But hear me, neither voice, Satan or yours, is from God. Neither voice. What's God's voice, John? You know God's voice. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Not you're worthless, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're fat, you're whatever, you're a loser, you should kill yourself. There is no, God's voice says no condemnation. None. Philippians, somebody need to write these scriptures down. Romans 8:1, Philippians 4:8-9. If you're going through a hard time in your life, and you're going through, you know, thoughts of depression, it's a feeling you need to take a bath in the book of Philippians. The main thing about Philippians is joy. How to have joy. Paul wrote it when he was in prison. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So think about them and practice them, and then the God of peace will be with you. Not just when you think about them, but when you think about them and practice them. When you hear the voice of God and shut the voice of Satan down, and if you need to, shut your voice down or fix your voice. But how do I stop it? John, how do I stop it? I'm hearing those things. I thought about killing myself this week, John. Go back to this one. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Write Romans 12:1-2. Wish I had time to go there. My favorite passage about presenting yourself to God. You find the will of God after you present yourself to God. Present yourself, your whole self, everything about you, your body, your soul, your spirit, your marriage, everything, your possessions. You present that to God. And then God says, I will show you what is my will, my good, perfect, pleasing will. That's how I submit to God. Resist the devil. That word means you be hostile to him. Well, John, I'm going to call him. I'm kind of, no, don't do that. Book of Jude says you're supposed to respect. You don't use weird, mean potty talk to Satan. He is a high spiritual being. You're not supposed to, you know, be saying all those little cutesy-wootsy things. You just say, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I resist you. I'm going to be hostile to you. I'm not going to cooperate with you anymore. I'm not going to lay out the doormat to you anymore. I'm not going to do it. Satan, resist the devil. And here's the promise of God. What will happen? He will flee from you. And then you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. That's the word of God. That's the truth of the word of God. But John, then, dude, is that all I do? No, you cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When you have those things, those bad thoughts or whatever, you say, all right, God, no, or you're thinking, oh, Lord, it's just not worth it. Oh, you give those to Jesus instead of, you know, getting on Facebook. You give those to Jesus, which means you spend time with God because he cares for you more than anybody on Facebook cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's prowling around your house, people. Some of you putting out that welcome mat. He's prowling around your kids, prowling around school systems. Be watchful. Seeking, he seeks somebody to devour. What do I do? Resist. There's that word again. Be hostile to him, firm in your faith. And then this, 2 Corinthians, I love this. I live and I pray this every morning as well. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power, more than Harry, to do what? Destroy strongholds. Some of you have strongholds in your marriage that need to be destroyed. Some of your kids have strongholds. Some of you have addiction strongholds, or a loved one has an addiction stronghold. There are strongholds that Satan has tempted and used Hollywood or whatever. You put the welcome mat out. Now they are just, there's a satanic, and that's not necessarily meaning you're sacrificing kittens in the woods, but you are believing lies. You are magnifying lies. Destroy strongholds. You can't do it. Your counselor can't do it. I can't do it outside the power of God. We destroy arguments. This is, I love this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You have to proactively, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, take every thought captive to make it obey Jesus. When I have a thought that is not from God, when I have a shame thought from my past, when I have an angry thought about someone, I am training, I'm not perfect, I am training myself, Lord, I take that thought captive to make it obey you, Jesus, because that thought is not from you. So grab that thing, lasso that thing, Lord, I give you that thought, please forgive me for that thought, take that thought away. You have to proactively say that. You say, John, I have thoughts about suicide. Then you realize it's not from God. That's not the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of Satan. Maybe the voice of you now, because he's convinced you, and you two are kind of partners in trying to kill yourself. And so you say, Lord, this is a satanic thought. I don't know where it came from, probably Satan. But I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I'm going to take it. Lord, I need you by your Holy Spirit's power to take that thought captive. You got an addiction? Oh man, I just really need, no, Lord, that's a bad thought. I don't need that. I need to be free from that. And so I'm gonna take that thought captive to make it obey Christ. Christ ain't about you shooting things in your veins or smoking things, doobies down your lungs. It's legal, oh shut up. Is it beneficial? More emails. The battle's fought mainly in your mind. And many of us are losing it because we don't know how to fight back, how to be hostile to Satan. One story I'm done. My grandson, Logan, he's good. This is like a family message. But there's Melissa like, oh, man. I said, can I use this? She said, yeah. I'm like, all right. Those of you who know Logan, he's 10 years old. He's a very sensitive kid. He loves the Lord, trusted Jesus. One night, late at night, he gets up out of bed. He comes crying to Melissa. Josh is at work. He comes in and he's like, "Mom, Mom." And she's like, "What's the matter, baby? What's the matter? Mom, Mom, Mom." And she says, What? Something's telling me to hurt you." And Melissa's like, "Oh man," you know, having this little talk at her. "Oh my goodness, what do I do? Do I spank him? What do I do?" And thankfully, she smiles. She says, "Honey, I'm not afraid of you. And honey, that's not you. That thought is from Satan." And immediately, 10-year-old Logan's whole tensed up little body relaxes. Immediately, spiritual and mental relief, because he now knows where it's coming from and it wasn't from him. Some of you need to get as astute as a 10-year-old to understand when Satan's talking to you. I need to start taking God's calls and blocking Satan's. Shutting my doors in Satan's face. How I minimize evil in my family's life. I quit inviting him in. You're like, "John, I don't agree with you on whatever, Harry Potter." I'm not your Jesus. I'm not your Holy Spirit, but you have a Jesus and a Holy Spirit. So why don't you check with them before you say what you're doing is cool? Huh? If you won't, that tells me that you're filled with pride or you're not really walking with Jesus. Now, there are different things that different Christians can do, all right? There are things in the Bible called the gray areas. Some Christians think it's okay to drink, others don't. These type things. As far as entertainment, I think the Bible's pretty, pretty clear. If it's satanic, don't do it. Quit inviting him in, or quit hanging around his friends. Some of you need to quit that and get involved in this church. And I quit taking his calls. But what will happen if I do that? Acts, that last verse, 20. So the word of the Lord, if you do that in your life, the word of the Lord continued to increase. Do you want the word of the Lord to increase in your life? Say yes or no. Yes. And do you want it to prevail mightily? Yes. Do you want to be blessed by God? Remember what being blessed is? To be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. I want to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. I want this church to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. You ain't going to be blessed. You shut down the blessings the more you play around with Satan. In your life, your kids and your grandkids' lives, in this church's life, when did the word of God prevail and grow and prevail? When the believers burned their junk. Finish with this. If you're burned out spiritually, chances are it's because you need to burn something up. God, I pray. There'll be a bunch of talking around the table in a few hours. And I pray, Lord, that in the talking, I don't care what they say about me. I pray that they wrestle, honestly wrestle with what, Lord, Holy Spirit, are you saying to them through this text? Are you trying to protect their home, their hearts, their lives, their minds? Have we let Satan in to at least a degree? But we shouldn't burn things up just rashly. But I pray that we honor you in everything we do, our entertainment, our music, our lives, through this church. Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Pastor Tom.